But the Bible says we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Through him is the key that many people leave out. And when they leave out the key through him, they also miss out on the victory that he offers. If I have access to my house through my keys, when we lock the doors with the keys inside, how much access to my house do I have? I'm on the outside just like everybody else. Now, legally, I'm not breaking and entering as far as a criminal offense, but to get in, I've still got to break something. I don't have access because my keys aren't with me. Does that make sense? So also the Bible says, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. There is something that I believe believers sometimes leave out, that is the through him, and therefore we miss out on victory that is offered to us. Ephesians 6 and verse number 11, the Bible tells us to do something that would be necessary for a soldier, and because it's necessary for a soldier, it reminds us that we are in a battle. It goes along with that verse, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Ephesians 6:11 says, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. If we did not put on the armor, what would we not be able to do? We wouldn't be able to stand, okay? Again, here it is. It's the armor of God. All Christians are commanded to prepare for a battle. But the armor is essential. We cannot expect to be victorious without the armor of God. And that armor, let's make sure we've defined it properly. It's the armor of God, not the armor of man. And the Bible says then, put on the whole armor of God, so that, or that ye may, be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. As a boy, there's at least two in here, but one is a young man, one is a boy. Fighting and battles were exciting to me. When I was a young man and I watched, you know, commercials where all the G.I. Joe figures were doing things, or I watched a movie where there was something going on in a battle, that was an exciting kind of a thing. The thought process of being that strong, mighty person to march out into battle and to conquer was an exciting, yet it was an unrealistically exciting thought. And the reason it was an unrealistically exciting thought was because my thought about a battle was based mostly on cartoons, video games, and movies. How realistic are cartoons, video games, and movies to the real battlefield that men faced in World War I, World War II, Vietnam, Korea, Desert Storm? The things we watch on TV. I was even hearing when there was this debate going on, which is still going on, regarding whether we have a right to bear arms or not. What you see many times, somebody will speak of, well, if you have a gun, you know, and somebody breaks into your house, people, based on what they've seen in a movie, think of themselves as having this sturdy nature about them as somebody comes in their house, able to calmly pick up their gun, aim it, and with one shot take out a villain. But you know what it looks like when someone breaks into the house? There isn't anybody just steadily standing still waiting to grab their gun and aiming one time. The hands are shaking if they grab a gun at all. And you're probably going to shoot several times because you don't have control and you're scared for your life. There's an unrealistic excitement regarding a battle, which has caused many young men to join the military to look for real life adventure and come home and never talk a word about what they saw. Why? Because what they went in for was an unrealistic picture of what they actually got when they got to the battlefield. And I believe sometimes Christians, we have an unrealistic view of the actual battle we're supposed to be in. We miss out on a particular perspective of what the real spiritual battlefield is. Christians, I believe, many times have missed the real battlefield. And you know, even as a child, sometimes I have heard the Word of God since I was a very little child. And one of the passages of Scripture that I like is found in the book of Hebrews. Now, Hebrews chapter 11, do you know what that chapter speaks of? Faith. All right, that's the chapter that deals with all these people who were men of faith. But I disconnected all that faith from this little section at the end of the chapter that was really exciting to me as a child. The Bible says this in Hebrews 11, verse 33, who stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in flight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Now you say, preacher, that's all true. It is. But in my mind, there was something exciting that as a child of God, I'm going to be putting muzzles on lions. I'm going to be throwing water on fires. I got a sword that I can fight back an enemy with. And yes, you do, but the battles aren't physical. The battles for all of those people in Hebrews chapter 11 started when they were sacked. You know, who was it that got the mouth of the lion closed? Daniel didn't drop in there with a muzzle and wrestle that lion, did he? His battle was won first as a spiritual battle on his knees with God when the charge came to him, you can't worship anybody or pray to anybody but the king. And he said, I'm going to still worship my God. I'm going to pray just as I've always prayed. And when he was thrown in, it was not his strength. It was not his arms that silenced or quieted that lion. It was faith in God that moved the arm of God to shut those mouths. Fascinating. But the battle that they won was not first physical, it was somewhere else. Verse 12 tells us what it was. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. But what do we wrestle against? Principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Our enemy is not flesh and blood. Our enemy is spiritual, which is much more dangerous because we can't see it. We mentioned just a little while ago that God's armies are invisible to us. We don't see them. But the same thing is true regarding the armies of the devil. We can't see them, which makes them that much more dangerous to us. Because some people are deceived as they go through the Christian life, believing if they cannot see the enemy, that there is no enemy. The British, as they came over to America and wanted to fight here, had some difficulty. Do you know how Indians fight? And you know how British fight. Here we go. British, this is how they were taught to fight in the time as our country was being fashioned. They put on all their red coats and clothes, and they lined up, and they marched. And then all the British lined up right next to each other, and they marched. You know how the Indians fight? The Indians are all climbing up in trees. They're all hiding behind bushes. And what happened to those foolish British? That's where we came from, but foolish British, who marched and said, look, that's cowardly. We're not fighting like that. What happened to them? They got gunned down. They couldn't see their enemy, and it began to be a very serious problem for the British Army because they decided, how do you fight an enemy you can't see? So many believers, I think, have done this. Because we can't see the enemy, which makes it difficult to fight him, we have chosen to fight a physical enemy instead, which means we do not end up winning the spiritual battles we're supposed to. Remember, it's the armor of God that we put on to win the battles that we're supposed to fight. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. If we start fighting a physical battle instead of the spiritual one, if we start using physical strength instead of spiritual strength, we're not going to be more than conquerors. We're actually going to live defeated. The Bible says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but instead we wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There in the notes, we have an enemy that is a demonic enemy. Demonic enemy. It is an enemy that has the power of the devil. And the devil does have power. We sang about him in our last song. He's stronger than any of us are. But just one word from Jesus Christ puts him down. We have a demonic enemy and we have a deceptive enemy. We have a deceptive enemy. That means he's fighting when you think he's left you alone. There are times that he is fighting you and you think he's left you alone. How does he do that? He's a convincing liar. And this is what the devil seeks to do. It's why having your head in this book and your heart in this book and your thoughts in this book are so important. Because the devil works on the principle of lies. And he lies in such a way to get you to agree with him so that you no longer see the battle. And if you agree with him and no longer see the battle, there are many times believers agreeing with the devil think that they are also right with God at the same time. That is, God says don't, but we have agreed with the lie of the devil and say, well, I'm okay just as I am. Illustration out of the Old Testament is Saul the king. God said, King Saul, go and destroy all of the Amalekites. And when he got there, they were having this victory, and instead of killing everything, he took Agag, the king, the best of the sheep, the best of the oxen, they brought that back for God. And Samuel said to Saul, why have you not obeyed the voice of the Lord? He said, I have done what God asked, and beyond what God asked, we did even more than God asked. I brought back the best of it so that we could worship God with it. Aren't I great? We missed something, Saul. Why? Because we have a demonic enemy who works not with physical things, but in the heart and the mind to deceive people so that we can actually think we have done what God asked us to do when we didn't do it. He directs our attention sometimes just to simple physical things so that we miss the spiritual battle. Let me ask you a question. If my enemy as a 9-year-old boy is another, let's say a 12-year-old boy with boxing gloves, if that's my enemy, how do I fight that enemy? If my enemy really is, I mean, I'm serious. Now, you know, like if our enemy is Iraq, or if our enemy is Iran, how do you beat? Well, you get your military ready, you do this, you do that. Well, if my enemy is a bully with boxing gloves, how do I fight that enemy? I get my arm stronger, and I go and I give him a big bop in the nose. I show him how strong I am. If my enemy is Hollywood or the entertainment industry, I simply work through legislation or through financial powers that I have, and I shut the whole thing down. If my enemy is alcohol and those that sell it, then again, I simply protest. I do what I can, and it has happened in the past, shut these things down. Yet, using legislation or physical strength is a physical victory, it's not a spiritual one. Where are we more than conquerors? In a spiritual battlefield. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 4, 2 Corinthians 10 and verse number 4 tells us that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. So the weapons that I'm going to use are not going to be my fists. The weapons I use are not going to be my money. The weapons I use are not going to be government leverage to do what I want them to do. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but though they are not carnal, they are mighty. Here's those words again. Through God. We are more than conquerors through Him. To the pulling down of strongholds. Jesus said this. They were going to arrest Him. When they had arrested Him, after Peter had already taken his sword and cut off the high priest's servant's ear, and Jesus picked it back up, put it back on, and healed it. Amazing display of love and compassion from our Savior at the moment in which He was yielding Himself to their desire to have Him. And Jesus made this statement through that process, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants do what? Fight!" Man, I would let my servants get their swords and they would fight every one of you, but that's not where my kingdom is. My kingdom isn't a physical kingdom yet. It is a spiritual one, so my servants are not allowed to fight physically because I'm asking them to win something spiritually. There are the notes. There's a number one there. Our enemy wins when we fight physical battles. When we get ourselves so consumed and so focused on physical things that we're fighting, he begins to win the battle. He's a deceptive enemy. If we fight physical battles, then you know what ends up happening as I fight a physical battle? I often end up putting on the wrong armor because I'm looking for physical armor. And when I have on the wrong armor, I win no real victory because the victory is only physical. It's not spiritual. See, we mentioned it, we might shut down liquor stores with legislation. It's possible we might be able to elect, even in America still today, we might be able to elect legislators who, if you took away the lobbyists, who might side with us and shut down all the liquor stores in America. You might have it happen. Might. But are you going to stop the bootleggers with legislation? See, if you want to stop the alcoholism, you've got to go to the spiritual battlefront, which is the heart. See, when a missionary goes to the Indians, where alcoholism is higher per person, I think, than any other group of people in America, when they go there, they don't go there and try to shut down the stores. You know what they do? They preach the gospel. You know what happened in parts of America? New York is one of the areas where this happened, where the preaching of the gospel came in. They call it now a burned out district up there, where the gospel came in. And as people were getting saved and they were hearing the messages of the gospel, the liquor stores and the bars had so few people going into them because of the preaching of the gospel that they shut themselves down because they couldn't make any money. You understand a business doesn't keep functioning if it doesn't earn something. How do you stop it? You can't just stop it with legislation. You can't just stop it with putting picket signs outside. You've got to reach the heart. And once you do that, the things crumble all on their own. Because they can't continue if God is in the heart. You might take away somebody's right to bear arms, and it's in the process. I believe some people would like that to be the case now. But you can't stop violence until you deal with the heart. Our enemy is winning when we have focused on a physical battle. It's a false victory there in the notes. Number two, it's a false victory if only a physical threat is removed. It is a false victory when only a physical threat is removed. Again, if I see my enemy as a bully, I fight him with my physical strength, which is the wrong armor, but I beat him. You know, we go out there, we get out, and we tangle a little bit, and I beat him, and he leaves me alone. Am I more than conqueror? No. I'm not more than conqueror because the physical threat is removed, but I haven't had a victory where God wanted me to have a victory. Where does God want me to have a victory? God wants me to love the unlovely like he did. God wants me to be kind to those who are unkind. God wants me to conquer hate on my knees through prayer. Not with my fists up in the air. We are more than conquerors by faith in Christ. The real battle that we ought to be fighting is not an external one, but an internal one. The real battle that every believer needs to be fighting is not an external one, but an internal one. And just so that you know, by faith, when we go forward to fight, we're being given a victory that Christ has already claimed. When you go out to fight, you are actually simply taking a victory Christ has already claimed. Do you know what a mirage is? It's something you think is there. The devil is a deceptive enemy. So he poses himself as a victor, and you as the loser in his deception. That's not how the Bible describes it. The Bible says we are more than conquerors. You know what the word more than conqueror is? That word means a decisive victory. More than conqueror means decisive victory. You are the owner of a decisive victory. Now, let me explain one decisive victory in history. We dropped some bombs on a country, and a war ended. Do you remember that? Two bombs, very powerful bombs. That was a decisive victory. Why? Because that ended it. The fighting had to stop. A decisive victory in a spiritual realm, though, goes much further. Can Japan become an enemy to fight us again? Sure they could. Yeah. But here's the issue with the spiritual realm. Jesus, when he died, was buried, and rose again, took over with power over sin, death, and the grave, and they can't have us anymore. You are not, the Bible says in Romans chapter 6, we are not under sin anymore. We are under grace. We have the power of God. Decisive victory is this. We could also call it the turning point of a war. It's when the power shifts from one army to the other army. For years, since Adam and Eve had sinned, it appeared that the devil had all the power on his side, and he just kept advancing and advancing. But as soon as Jesus Christ put himself on that cross, yielded himself to those men, died, was buried, and rose again, the whole force of the battle shifted, and we are now standing on the side of power and authority through Jesus Christ. That's how he can say, we, believers, are more than conquerors. Have God's children ever been put to death? Physically, yes, they have. Have God's children ever suffered at the hand of cruel men? Physically, yes, they have. We have right now, and I meant to ask you to pray for him again, we have all over the world that is taking place where Christian men and women are persecuted. We have an American, a pastor from America that's over in Iran being beaten. Every day, he's under an 8-year prison sentence for being a follower of Jesus Christ. Every day, he's being beaten. They have taken him to the hospital, turned him away from the hospital because they do not want to give him medical treatment. He has internal bleeding, and they continue to beat this man with the intent that he would deny Jesus Christ. How can we say we are more than conquerors? Because the battle isn't a physical one. The battle is a spiritual one that Jesus is speaking of, and that we are supposed to be engaged in, and that we are supposed to be enjoying the victory of. Now, do not misunderstand me. I do know this. The devil uses physical tools. And some of those physical tools should be put away. There are people that are addicted to the television. There are people that are addicted to things they read in magazines. There are people addicted to alcohol. There are people addicted to the greed of desire for more. There are people that are addicted to video games. There are people addicted to pornography and tobacco. And I mean, the list just goes on and on of things that people are addicted to. Those are physical tools that are being used against the body, but there's also a spiritual battle that is going on there. The problem is first and foremost the heart, because the heart wants those things or desires those things. It's not just the availability of sin that is wrong. It's the heart desiring it that is wrong. Addictions as a rule, and I believe everybody has had an addiction at some time or another, whether it was an addiction to anything that's a substance that we would say, ooh, we don't want that, or simply an addiction to the things of this world that we did not want to give up. An addiction, as a rule, is something that uses your time, your money, your energy, so that you cannot give those same resources to the things that God asks you to give them to. If God says, give your time here, and you can't because of something you've got over here, this is something you are addicted to. Because Jesus said, give your time over here. And it can be as simple as Little League. You know, you get a little boy growing up, he wants to be in Little League. And mommy and daddy say, okay, little boy, you can be in Little League. And they won't miss one game to be in church. Now, which one are they addicted to? If God says we shouldn't forsake the assembling of ourselves together, they become addicted to Little League. Now, I know that they're not addicted to church because they're not telling the Little League coach, sorry, we'll be there when when church is out. They're telling the church, we'll be there when the season's over. Which one has taken priority? You say, but sometimes people get argumentative when you preach. It's only in their head, though. They won't say it. Preacher, what if? What if the guy, he's addicted to gambling, but He wins every time. And he tithes off of it. Isn't he then giving to God all the things that God desires? No! Because if he's wasting all of his time pursuing riches through a process God says he shouldn't, he's not giving his time to his family like he ought. See, when you yield yourself to a certain activity that God says no, you cannot at the same time be yielding yourself to the activity God says yes to. An addiction, any sort, is taking away the resources, time, and energy that should be, that God is asking to be, yielded to him in some other fashion. So the preacher rails against all these substances and activities, and we decide, all right, we're going to be good people, we're going to get rid of all those things. We can't claim victory just because we laid down the tool for a little while. We get victory when those same things that were being used on that tool now get put into God's service. We can't claim victory just because we simply exchange one addiction for another. Do you understand this? Here I am, I'm addicted to my gambling, and every week I'm out there and I'm making up, and I say, oh, preacher said I shouldn't gamble. I've wasted my time. I haven't trained my children like I ought to from the Bible because I've been so busy running to the gambling, the casinos. I haven't loved my wife because I've been so addicted to thinking about this thing. So I say, well, I lay that down. But I don't go home and spend time with my wife and my children and teach them the Bible and love them the way I ought. I go home and I get myself addicted to repairing old cars. And I just fill up my yard with old cars and I spend my time. Have I had victory? Oh, preacher, I don't gamble anymore. But the devil is still using tools. Your heart still has not yielded to the things that God wants. Why? Because we only traded one addiction for another. We traded one physical tool for another. One looks worse than the other, but we still have not yielded our heart to the humility in the place where it says, God, what you want of me is what I'll give you. Where you want my time is where I'll put it. What you want of me is what I'll give. The battle, number three there in the notes, the battle has to be started and finished as a spiritual battle. This is what the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Our battle is a fight of faith. It's a spiritual battle over the heart and mind of mankind. The devil is fighting against your heart and he's fighting against your mind with every form of media that there is. Print, video, audio. So then we've got to conquer and counter the deception of the spirit. But what are we going to use? What tool do we have to fight with? The Bible says, put on the whole armor of God, and then it describes one weapon we've got here. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The devil is after our minds to deceive us. He's after our hearts to turn our hearts away from God. So what do we have to fight it with? We put this in our hearts and this in our minds to battle that which the devil is seeking to do in us. The Bible says this, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. And here's the goal. And bringing into captivity every action, every thought, unto the obedience of Christ. See, God is not concerned first with our activity. He is concerned first with our thoughts and our heart. Because if he gets our thoughts and he gets our hearts, guess what he has? He's got everything else. He wants to win, and he does win whenever we yield to him. We are more than conquerors. Victory over sin is found when my thoughts become yielded to his thoughts. When my thoughts obey Christ. But too often believers ignore the spiritual battlefield and they think they are winning. Let me try to explain this, how I think this looks. Too often we are using flesh to conquer flesh. So here it is. I'm a lazy man. And I use my will. The preacher says we shouldn't be lazy. So I go home. All right, I'm not going to be lazy. The alarm clock goes off tomorrow. And I roll out of bed and I get up, get dressed, and I go off to work. And I say, I have overcome my laziness. Do you know why I got up and I went to work? I used flesh to do it. I didn't want to miss out on my paycheck and get fired. So because I want my paycheck, I am able to move my flesh that is lazy out of bed and go to work. But have I had victory over my flesh? You'll know that. You'll know if you had victory over laziness when the preacher says, let's go out on visitation, and you say, I'm ready to go. But you know what? If I struggle to get out of bed to go tell anybody about Jesus, I haven't conquered mine. How did I conquer my laziness the first time? With my flesh. I wanted something so bad I was able to move my flesh to go get it, but I didn't want the spiritual bad enough, so my flesh continues to win. It means I had victory with flesh. And you know what? Flesh always will fail. People use their will many times to gain a victory, but it's only temporary. Let's suppose that we need to lose some weight. I remember this was in high school all the time, it seemed like. End of the school year was coming around, and there was going to be a swimming party or whatever, and all these girls would start talking about they had a bathing suit they wanted to get into, or a dress for the prom or something that they wanted to get into. And so, you know, all year long they had eaten all this junk. But for 2 months, these girls could eat like a rabbit. They got victory over their flesh. They did not. You know how they got victory over that for 2 months? The will that desired to impress other people. What is that? That's flesh. I want people to look at me and say, look how good she looks, or look how good he looks. And because of the desire for the praise of men, they were able for a short period of time. But you know what happened after the party or the whatever was gone? There weren't any more rabbits left. Everybody's eating their chocolate and their chips and everything else again. Why? Because flesh always will fail. We feel successful, and this is why. Because one area of our flesh that looks really bad is exchange, or is stronger, is beaten by an area of our flesh that doesn't look so bad. It's my greed. Here I am. I'm a lazy man lying in bed. Can't get out of bed. But if I don't get out of bed, I don't get my paycheck. Is greed wrong? Yeah. I'm motivated simply by the desire for a paycheck, not the desire to be a servant of God. Aren't we supposed to do all we do to the glory of God? Whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as unto God, not unto men. Hey, that's the spiritual victory. But I roll myself out of bed, and I go simply to get that paycheck so that my wife doesn't kick me out of the house because I'm a lazy bum. I haven't had a spiritual victory. I've just used one part of my flesh that isn't quite as ugly to have victory over another part of my flesh that is perhaps more ugly. So sometimes I'm simply exchanging one flesh for another, and then we feel defeated when our will wants what looks bad. There are sometimes that what our will wants is what our flesh offers, and it doesn't look good, and that's when we feel defeated. I don't feel defeated when I can conquer some area of my flesh with flesh. If I beat it with something that looks a little better, those self-righteous parts of us, you know, those parts of us that look good to the people around us, you know, the Pharisee stood up and he prayed. But what, he hadn't won any spiritual victories, poor man. Why hadn't he won any victory? It was all pride. Oh, look at me. Real victory is when by faith I take God's will over my will and subdue my flesh. Here's where the battle's supposed to be taking place. When dealing with my impatience, my worry, my lust, my depression, my rudeness, my unloving attitude, my irritability. See, all those things are evidences of the flesh that says I'm not gaining victory where God wants me to gain victory. Yet here's what the Bible says. In all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Satan is waging a war against our mind and our heart, and Satan does not want you to know this truth. We are more than conquerors. It's a present reality. The Bible says we are, not we will be, we are more than conquerors. It is a powerful reality, a decisive victory given to us through Christ. I was thinking on this as I preached Thursday night. Christ is never defeated by any sin. Did you know that? When he was on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, while they were hurting him, while they were doing what would let his life slip away from him. He said, forgive them. And yet, you know what? We try, in our flesh, to muster up enough strength to forgive somebody. It's not spiritual victory to say, well, give me time. Time heals all things and I'll forgive in time. Spiritual victory is when I say Jesus forgave and I take His forgiveness and I give it to you without any waiting on the matter. You know what happens over time? Over time I forget a little bit of the hurt. Over time it gets pushed far enough behind me. The victory that should be there is the victory of Christ. Does Christ struggle to love anybody? They love me. And all my weakness and wickedness. And yet sometimes I say, you know, there's some people that are easier to love than others. That's not spiritual victory, to love the lovely and to hate and to not love the unlovely. Jesus loves every one of them. Victory comes when I'm able, through Him, to simply love, not waiting on, if I get a couple weeks, I'll get my mind around this thing. No. The Bible says we're more than conquerors. Anytime I yield or surrender my will to His will, I win. Our enemy, number five, is a demonic and deceptive enemy, but he is also a defeated one. He is working off of a lie that he wants you to believe. There are a lot of people that say, I cannot get victory, when Jesus has already said, we are more than conquerors. You can, through Christ. There are people who say, I am defeated, when Christ says, we're a conqueror. How can we be defeated when Christ is a conqueror? Because we've missed the real battlefield. The real battlefield is a spiritual one. And we have not become willing to receive what He offers. But notice this. This is what the Bible says before that. In verse 32 of Romans chapter 8, the Bible says, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? What does that mean? It means when I face a battle and I face a conflict, Jesus isn't looking from heaven going, I'm sorry, that's one I don't have victory over. He doesn't look down from heaven and say, I'm sorry, you're not a good enough Christian for that kind of a victory. The one who gave Himself for us will freely give us all things. And then He says, 5 verses later, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. It's a fight of faith. It's a battle for your heart and your mind to become submitted to the truth of God in any area of our life. Let's not face a week of defeat. Let's not go out this week anticipating failure. He says we're victors. He says we're more than conquerors. I think we better listen to Him instead of the devil. The devil says you're defeated and you can't do it. Jesus says through me, you've already got it. So all we're doing is claiming what He's already received, what He's already paid for. You know, I like to go into Walmart when something's already paid for. You go up to the counter, you just go in and say, my name is so-and-so, and they just hand you something, and you walk out with it. I don't walk in and go, my name. I don't know if you'll give it to me, my name is, and whisper my name. I just walk in and say, my name is Donald Hadley. There's a package right back there that should have my name on it. When I get a little slip in the mailbox, it says, go to the post office. There's a package. I don't walk in and go, hey, I'm going to go up there and talk to them. I'm scared. I just walk right in and say, look, this is mine. Isn't that what Jesus just said? Thanks be to God which giveth us the victory. We are more than conquerors through Him. So let's just take from this a couple things. Let's be encouraged to look for the victory He's already granted. And then let's be challenged not to be content with physical victories, physical things. Let's aim at getting the victory where He wants to give it. That's in the heart and the mind. And you'll get that when you take up your armor and use the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God.